Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Today's Crosswalk is pre-recorded from Truth Set Free.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to Truth Set Free. My name is Matt Lewis. I'm here with Pastor Steve Winery. We're coming to you live from Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities. If you guys are watching us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, just post in the comments your question. We'll try our best to get to you. If you want Pastor Steve to pray for you, go ahead and put that in there. If you want praise reports, let us know you're watching, where you're watching from. We would like all that, too. Pretty cool to see you guys watching sometimes around the world. If you could like this Q&A show, we would love that. Subscribe, that would be awesome too. And then share. I'm trying to get our studies out to as many people as possible just to spread the gospel. And so we would love for your help with all the social media stuff. For you guys that are local, we do have one thing I wanted to tell you, which was Friday night, we're doing a One Voice All City night of worship. And all it is a worship night. And so that's going to be Friday, September 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. Brandon, I don't know if it's the EQ guys, but Brandon B. is our worship pastor, leader, and his band's going to come rock it out. And so I encourage you to come out for that. Should be pretty cool. Other than that, we have an app. We have a website. You guys can get on there, see everything that we're doing. And then for you guys, for this show, if you want to email behind me, crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can text 707-872-7677. And that's the way to get a hold of me if you watch this after the live show, anytime during the week. Just rattle off an email or a text, and I save those questions, and they'll just go in order on the next available slot as we go through. All right, that's all I have. Pastor Steve, you ready to jump in?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is my first one for today, and it says this. Is it okay for a Christian to use substances such as tobacco, vaping, maybe an occasional glass of wine at dinner? Also, what about drinking coffee or other substances that seem to be addicting or out of habit?
Okay, let me take you to a couple of passages. Whenever you're looking at this stuff, one of the issues that you got to keep in mind is the fact that we can end up hurting ourselves. That's one. Another one is that you can end up stumbling others. And let me give you a couple of passages on this. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 23, Paul reiterates that same statement with a little different emphasis. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And so whenever I'm looking at what my liberties are, and that's what we're talking about, one of the things that I want to look at is, am I being brought under the power of this thing? And is it something that's building me up, or is it tearing me down? And so those are the two standards that you look at. I drink coffee because of my age. I fast routinely. And so one of the things that I fast from is coffee, right? And so part of the reason that I do that is because I want to see if I get a caffeine headache. And I'm not like other people. And so caffeine doesn't affect me in the same way that it does other people. So I can drink coffee right before I go to bed and I sleep just fine, you know? And so I'm one of those guys, and I know I irritate many of you, so sorry. But if I was into something and it was taking control of my life, then I would nix it. And that's specifically because I'm really not interested in being brought under the power of anything. The other thing, obviously, is does this thing build you up or does it tear you down? And so when I look at issues like drinking, that is one of those issues that has become more and more popular with people who say that they're following Jesus. And so you watch, you look at people's Facebook pages, and a lot of times, you know, how people go out to dinner and they take a picture of their food. I'm not really a person that's like that. Every once in a while, I'll do something. If I think something looks really cool, I'll do something like that. But not very often, because I really don't care about what you eat. And so I think that you probably don't care about what I eat. But one of the things that I see on many Christians, and I'm kind of putting that in quotes pages, is wine and alcohol. And if there was anything that I would not be promoting in the culture that we live in, is the fact that I drink wine and alcohol. And by alcohol, I mean hard liquor, wine and hard liquor. That is not something that I would be promoting, and I think it's counterproductive. It is not only something that doesn't edify you, it does not build you up. And I can tell you that from experience and also from my upbringing. I grew up in an alcoholic home. It was not a good thing. It was never a good thing. It was never anything that helped us as kids. And it actually was something that tore apart my mom's marriages and tore apart our family. And so, not good. And then after I got older, I was a partier. And I can tell you again that it was not something that was edifying. And, you know, we've got all these excuses that people come up with. You know, I shouldn't have said that to you, I was drunk. Or I shouldn't have did that to you, I was drunk. Or I shouldn't have did that in general, I was drunk. You know, the Romans had a phrase, and it went like this, in vino veritas. And what it literally means is, in wine there is truth. And one of the things that I can tell you is that when I got drunk or when I got tipsy, there was never anything that I did that I did not want to do. Never. I always did exactly what I wanted. And I regretted it after the fact, because it was stupid, because there was no self-control, and so on and so forth. And one of the things that you're going to run into when you're involved in that kind of stuff is the fact that you are going to do things that undercut your own walk with God, and you are going to do things that undercut, that can hurt your family, and especially that undercut your witness. Unbelievers know exactly how you're supposed to be acting. And when they see you drinking, well, I can just tell you from the point of view, because I came from an unbelieving background, if I saw Christian drinking, I would use it as an excuse for my own drunkenness. And the other thing I would do is I would dismiss you immediately.
Because of a compromiser? Or what?
Yeah, because you're a compromiser. It's like, I know what Christians are supposed to act like Jesus, right? And then the issue will come up, well, Jesus drank. And he did. And I believe it was alcoholic wine. But what most Christians who are into this don't know is that the wine was always cut, and it was cut with water. So number one, it wasn't alcoholic wine like what we drink nowadays. Ours is fortified with alcohol. And so wine that you get from the store has up to twice as much alcohol content as wine did in the first century. And then on top of that, the wine was cut with water. And there were different recipes for that. Sometimes it was three parts water to one part wine. Sometimes it was two parts water to one part wine. Sometimes it was 20 parts. The Romans even had it at 20 parts water to one part wine. And so anybody that was drinking uncut wine in the first century was considered to be a lush. They were considered to be a drunk. And it was, and so you'll see this in the Bible. It'll talk about uncut wine. And that's the thing it was talking about. They drank four cups of wine during Passover. And the wine had to be alcoholic. They took grapes, put them in, crushed them, put the juice in sacks, and grapes were harvested in the fall. And Passover took place in the spring. It had to be alcoholic wine. And they had to drink four cups of that wine during Passover. and the alcohol content was anywhere from 8 to 10% usually in a situation like that. And so if they were drinking uncut wine, they would be drunk by the end of the Passover service. And again, where we get the whole idea that the wine was cut with water is from literally recipes that you find in Jewish documents that come from the time. Okay. And so if you want to drink wine like Jesus drank wine, you go to whatever place you're going to. You go to Olive Garden, you ask for the wine, and you ask for a pitcher. And first off, you got to get it cut down to about 10% alcohol. So just take your cup of wine and take the same amount of water, put that in it, and then you're at the starting point in the first century. And then you take that amount, and you take that same amount of water, do it at least twice again, and then you've got the kind of wine that Jesus was drinking during the Passover. So apples to apples, you guys. And there was no hard liquor during the first century. There was none. They did not have it during the first century. And so we are not doing the same thing that they did in Bible times, whether you're talking about the Jews or whether you're talking about the Romans. You're not doing the same thing. So don't sit there and tell me that you are. So you can obviously see where I'm at with this. And obviously, I've got a background in this kind of stuff. The other thing that you have to watch out for is the whole issue with stumbling people. When you go through the Bible, you have the Jews using wine. You even have Paul telling Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake, because he often had sicknesses, infirmities. And it's because the water was bad. And basically what Paul was doing was telling him, put a little wine in your water, and it would cut out the germs, basically. And not that Paul knew about germs and that kind of stuff, but they knew what the effect was of wine was on bad water. And so that was specifically a situation where you had a pastor, Timothy, who would not drink it, period, when he was in Ephesus. And Paul, an apostle, had to tell him, put a little wine in your water, because the guy was not willing to do it. And so what you see is there is a guy who's standing on principle despite the fact that it's making him sick, because he's dealing with a culture that was into partying. Ephesus was a Roman colony, basically. And so in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess, or in which is literally no salvation, but be filled with the Spirit. And so in that passage, we're told that we're not to be drunk. In Romans chapter 14, Rome was the ultimate party culture. These guys just did ridiculous things in their partying. And Paul, when he was talking to the Romans, said in verse 21 of chapter 14, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And that's the standard there. So when I'm looking at the things that I do, I don't want to be doing things that are going to stumble people. And when I'm saying stumble people, you know, you drink wine in front of me, you can't stumble me. I've been a Christian since 1975. You cannot stumble me, because I know who Jesus is, and no matter what you do, that's not going to be something that's going to put me off of following Jesus. What we're talking about here is new believers. And I can give you one story after another story after another story of some older believer who thought that they had the freedom to do certain things in front of new believers and cause the new believer to walk away from Jesus. And that's stumbling. You do that kind of stuff, and especially if you have the attitude that, well, they need to get it together, and I don't have to live my life, for them, and that is not what the Bible says. Am I my brother's keeper is what came out of Cain's mouth after he murdered his brother. And that's the attitude of a lot of Christians. And so I'm being pretty intense about this, but I'm in the position where I get to hear the stories. And I'm tired of them, frankly. I'm tired of it. And so older Christians need to get their act together on this kind of stuff. This is one of those things that I turned away from when I was a young Christian. And the reason, again, is because of the background that I came from, the background that all my friends came from, too. You know what, you guys, when I had my wedding, we did the whole thing with cutting a cake and drinking a toast. My toast, mine and my wife's toast, was milk. And the reason is because everybody that I invited to my wedding from my past knew exactly what I was before I became a Christian. And I didn't do cider and all the kind of stuff that a lot of times Christians will do. I'm not criticizing that at all. But I didn't do it because I didn't want anybody walking out of there thinking that I drank a cup of wine or a glass of wine, even for my toast. And so, again, the reason is because I care about all those people, and I want them to know my life had changed. And it was actually a good witness for them, because they came up and, you know, some of them were still unbelievers, and they came up and said, "I know why you drank milk." I know exactly who I was. And so
I did sparkling cider, and I found out afterwards all the Lushes in my family were going across the hotel to the bar and bringing in all the liquor underneath and trying to hide it because they wouldn't let me know about it. I'm like, come on, guys, you can't make it one night.
Exactly, they can't.
Give me a break.
And the reason they can't is because it has power over them.
Yeah.
When you're in a situation where you can't stop, that's a problem. Okay, so there's that with the drinking thing. Early on, I turned away from that kind of stuff, and part of it was because I was going to be involved in ministry, and especially youth ministry. And you talk to a high schooler, and if they ask you if you drink, if you say, "I only drink in the privacy of my own home, and I never, you know, flaunt that, that doesn't go on Facebook," that kind of stuff, you're going to have to answer them honestly. And if that's what you're doing, what the kid's going to do is go, "Oh, you do." And so that gives him the excuse to go out and party. That's why a kid will ask you that kind of stuff. And so you can't minister effectively to a kid in that situation, in my opinion, and I think I have an informed one. You can't minister effectively to a kid in that kind of situation when he knows you drink. So it's either the kid or the drink. And again, one of the things that people will say to you is, "It's only a drink." Well, if it's only a drink, then I can drink Kool-Aid, can't I? I can drink Diet Coke, can't I? If it's only a drink, and the only reason that I would be hard and fast on wanting that stuff is because I want it, what's the reason? And so those are things you have to examine when you're looking at these kinds of issues. We have a drug and alcohol ministry called U-Turn. These guys have real problems, obviously, with drugs and alcohol, and they come to our church. And so I'm highly protective of these guys. I don't want the older free believers stumbling these guys. Ticks me out. You want to get me mad? That's a way that you can do it. And I don't like that stuff, and so got to watch out for it. Obviously, drugs are not an option for a Christian. And so when you're talking about drugs, there's a term in Scripture, pharmakeia. It's the word for sorcery, and sorcery was always connected with drug use. And there's a reason for that. When you have a mind-altering drug, it opens you up to the spiritual realm. And again, I have some experience with this, not really personally, but I knew, you know, I hung out with people who were into drugs. And anytime that I knew a guy, well, I knew a number of people that would drop acid. And, you know, when they would have a bad trip, it was never they were being overwhelmed by unicorns and rainbows. It was always demonic. It was always satanic. And I believe that Satan is an opportunist, and he'll use this stuff to get at you. It's why it is not allowed in Scripture. And I don't care what the state says. And so we got a situation right now where it's legal to do marijuana, to smoke marijuana or eat it or whatever. And, you know, besides the fact that the THC level does not even, you know, it's like multiple times what it was when I was a kid in the way that they produce it, kind of along the same lines as alcohol. Even without that, the Bible doesn't allow it. It's drug use in that sense. And it's illicit drug use. It's just drug use to get high. And that is not something that the Bible allows. On the other hand, obviously, people abuse drugs, and so you can have prescription drugs. And I can see places where marijuana would be used in a prescription format. But because, you know, even with that, because of the baggage that goes with that, if I was talking to a doctor and he said to me marijuana would be the best thing for you in that, I'd just go, can you give me something else? And it's because I have too many people in my family, too many people in my background that were abusers of marijuana, and they're expecting something different from me. And so, you know, all of this stuff, number one, is it building me up or tearing me down? Am I being brought under the power of it? And that's from my point of view, from so to speak, a selfish perspective on that. But even more than that, even more importantly than that, what's it doing to the people who are around me? And so, again, these are the things that I look at when I'm looking at these things. When you're talking about vaping or cigarette use, that kind of thing, that's another one of those things that I never got into, and I have reasons for that. When I was 3 years old, my brother was 1 year old, and he would go to the ashtrays and grab a handful and stuff it in his mouth, and so cured me of smoking for the rest of my life. You know, and so never ever wanted to go there. Just always grossed me out, and so that's where I sit with that. I know that smoking is one of those things that's pleasant to people because ex-smokers always tell me this. And that kind of stuff. And it's not spoken about in the Bible. But again, you got the same principles.
Yeah.
And so is it something that builds you up or tears you down? Is it something that you're brought under the power of? And you are brought under the power of that stuff. Nicotine addiction is pretty awful if you're trying to stop. And so those are things that you need to be looking at. And then again, there's the whole thing with other believers. Now, I have had people who came up to me and said, you know what, Steve, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I'm still smoking. And one of the people that said that to me was a person that I knew that was using weed and was using, you know, was using meth and was using, there were all these drugs that they had been using in their past, heroin. They had turned away from all that and they were still smoking. And I just went, you know, I can give you a pass on that. It's like, look at all the things that God's done in your life and getting rid of this stuff. And yeah, if you're convicted about the smoking, just go and pray about that. But don't think that God's not working in you or that you're not saved because, you know, the least addictive thing that you're involved with is still hanging on. It's like God's done an awesome work in you. And so when I'm looking at this stuff again, especially with newer believers, you know, a lot of people who are coming into church, they just climbed out of a deep hole.
Yeah.
And they may not be up to the edge yet, but they're still further along than a lot of Christians I know that grew up in church. And so it's something to keep in mind. But all that stuff, you know, these are the things you look at. So again, is it something, you know, is it something that is helpful to me? Is it something that's edifying to me? Is it something that's going to bring me under its power? Is it something that's going to stumble somebody else? And if those issues are there, then you stay away from it. And we have freedom, we have power, we have strength, and I don't have to do this stuff.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, please email me at crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail or text message to 707-872-7677. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you've been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk. My King is come.